You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we're off and running here in the month of May. Welcome to the Refresh Radio Program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And tonight is our Bible study night, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Sanctuary. Tables are up. Study guides are ready. And teachers are ready. All we need is you. And so if you would like to join us for our Bible study on Wednesday night, we would love to have you there. 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We're two blocks north of 522, blocks west of Courtney Parkway. Those are the two main roads, east and west and north and south in Merritt Island. And so we're not that far off of the beaten path, but no place a GPS can't help you to find us. So like to invite you out, and if you don't have a church home, we would love it if you chose to visit with us and enjoy the what has been one of the most beneficial Bible studies we've done in 2 years. The congregation has just embraced this like nothing else we'd ever done, and so we are very, very thankful for that. Today we are going to go to God's Word, and we're going to be in Psalm 143. Yesterday we were talking about a lot of the instruction techniques and goals that God has for us out of Psalm 119, that God wants to teach us judgment. He wants to teach us knowledge. He wants to be the teacher. That he teaches with mercy, that we need to be sure that we teach with the presence of God, the anointing of God, and teach in a manner that results in praise. So that's what we talked about yesterday. Today is not going to be so much about classroom, but about lifestyle. And for that, we're going to go to Psalm 143. This is a Psalm of David, and it says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Selah. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, and for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant." Interesting psalm, especially if you're one of those people who has been taught that if you're in right relationship with God, that you are never going to experience any problems. Because that is not the reality that David testifies about in this particular psalm. He cries out for God to hear his prayer and that God would answer him because of God's faithfulness. He cries out and says, God, do not enter into judgment because I'm not perfect. He says, no one living is righteous in your sight. Verse number 3, he describes that the enemy has persecuted his soul, his mind, his will, emotions. Sometimes it means his very life. It says he has crushed my life to the ground. An interesting part of verse number 3 says that the enemy has made David to dwell in darkness. And if you've ever lived in a part of the country where, especially in the wintertime, that there's a serious decrease in the amount of sunshine that you get to experience on a daily basis, they actually have a lot of people that go into like a seasonal depression or a discouragement because they're not out in the light. And so I would encourage you that if you find yourself in a season where you are isolated, where an enemy is actively persecuting or pursuing your demise, get into the presence of God as much as possible. Also, get into a place where there's going to be spiritual revelation through the preaching of God's word. That makes a huge difference. Because of the way that David was living, it says his spirit was overwhelmed within him, and his heart, his innermost being, was distressed. So in just these two verses, David describes that his soul is under attack and his spirit is overwhelmed. And there's probably some physical suffering that is going along with that. So what do you do when you are being attacked on all sides? You need to fix your mind on God. You need to do some reminiscing on the faithfulness of God. And so David writes in verse number 5, I remember the days of old. I remember that it hasn't always been like this. Therefore, I am confident that life is not always going to be like it currently is. He says, I meditate on all your works. He doesn't deny the reality that the enemy has launched into his life, but he said, God, I'm going to use my mental faculties to remember the things that you have done. And he said, my soul, which has been persecuted by the enemy, my soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And whenever you and I realize that there is a deficit that is going on, if you have a hydration deficit in your body, your body is going to operate differently than if you were fully hydrated. If there is a deficit in your spirit, it is going to function less than optimally. And the same thing is true whenever our soul is under siege. It's not going to be processing things the way that we would like it. And so we need to recognize that when our soul is crying out for God, that's not a cry to be ignored. It is a cry that is meant to be paid attention to. And so David continues and he says, "Answer me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails." When we hit our limits, we have not hit God's limits. And so David cries out that he needs an answer, and he needs a quick answer from God. He says, "Cause me to hear," verse number 8, "your loving kindness in the morning." And so I'll touch a little bit more on this in a little bit, but several weeks ago, there was a Bible study, and it goes on in the lower levels of the first floor of one of our structures. My office happens to be on the second floor, and so because I don't want to be interrupting them going up and down the stairs, I generally move over to the sanctuary. And then about the time they're ending, I will come over and greet them and have a conversation. And on this particular day, one of the ladies said, "Pastor, you are so blessed. Listen to that songbird that is singing outside of this building. It has been singing a song the entire time we've been doing a Bible study. What a blessing it is that you've got one of God's creatures that is just constantly singing of the joy that's been placed within it by his creator." And my response was, "You know, I hardly ever pay attention to that. Normally the sound of a bird that I hear is the sound of a woodpecker that loves to bang outside of my office window." And she said, "Well, this bird has just been singing all day long." And when they said that, I realized that many times in life, we can get so busy and so focused on everything on our to-do list that we miss the beauty of the environment that God has planted us in. Sometimes you can miss the beauty of a song. Sometimes you can miss the beauty of the foliage, the plants, the creatures. Sometimes you can miss the beauty of the relationships that you have in your life. And I think that sometimes we need to say, "God, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning," whether it's by your written word, by the conversation we have in prayer, or the song of a bird, or a testimony that someone else has to offer. In the midst of this attack, remind me, cause me to hear, make me to hear your loving kindness. And so it says, "For in you do I trust, cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, in you I take shelter." And here is the topic of the day. In verse number 10, it says, "Teach me to do your will." Teach me to do your will. And I I realized several weeks ago that one of my defaults that I have, you know, when all else fails, you move back to this, is that I work. So when I work, I work, and when I play, I play. And one of the things that God has shown me, over the past couple of years is the importance of embracing His will, when it comes to His Sabbath rest. And it gave me a whole new perspective when I was going through this, and it says, teach me to do your will. Well, doing His will sometimes means that we don't do the physical things that we would embrace ourselves, but instead we will rest because He tells us to rest. Sometimes we sleep because His will is that our body is well rested. And I will tell you this, God intends for you to have life, have it abundantly, to have joy in abundance, and doing His will is embracing in the moment the thing that God has for you in that particular moment. So if it is time to celebrate, celebrate. If it is time to rest, rest. If it is time to worship, worship. But if it is time to relax and have fun and enjoy your family, then we need God to teach us to do His will in that attitude just as much as any other. We, as a society, right now have so many conveniences that have been placed at our hands. So, right now, as I'm in the radio studio, I am also doing laundry at my house because I put the laundry in before I left to come to the radio studio. So I don't have to be sitting there, you know, scrubbing by hand and all. I've got a machine that does that. We have microwaves that can heat our food. We have cars that transport us from point A to point B way quicker than it used to take. You know, I remember back when I was doing the radio program and I was recovering from my retina repair, and I couldn't drive at the time. And so I still had to come do the radio program. And so there was walking, there was bike riding on some days, and there was buses to take in order to get me here, depending upon, you know, what the weather was like and everything that was going on. There was still responsibilities, but I was able to do it in a quicker amount of time than people had years and years and years ago. So I'm thankful for the conveniences, but one of the things that society has done is said, look, you've got this convenience. Now you can do even more, to where we are constantly on the go, doing things, pressing harder, and cramming our schedule to the full. And there are responsibilities that we have. And I believe that you know, when it comes to work, that we ought to give a good day's work for a good day's pay. I think when we have those responsibilities, that we take care of those. But we also need to realize that God is looking out for our best interest spiritually, financially, relationally. God is looking for our best as far as our body, our soul, and our spirit goes. And so we need God to teach us to do His will. And sometimes the guy on this side of the microphone goes harder when he's supposed to be resting. So in the past few years, as God taught me about, you know, that my time management needed to be embracing His will, there's been modifications that I've made so that His will is reflected not only in the laborious things that I do, but that I embrace His will for spiritual rest. So I would say it was probably 3 years ago, I realized that I wasn't as young as I used to be, and I couldn't do as much as I used to be able to do for as long as I used to be able to do it. And so I had to make some schedule changes and some priority changes. And so I did that because I've got a pretty ambitious goal. I want to minister to the glory of God, but I don't want the ministry to kill me. So I manage the congregation in a way that I don't want them overextended, because I want them to be effective in ministering for the kingdom for as long as possible. I want them to be healthy and sound, and so I want to take care of them as a shepherd takes care of his sheep. So when God was speaking to my wife and I about our Sundays, my Sunday starts very early, and so by the time we get done with service, I've almost put in a full day by the time we get the building locked up and I get home on a Sunday afternoon. And we don't do much. We rest because we know that it's Sunday, but Monday's coming. A lot of times we talk about, you know, with Easter being not that far long ago, we talk about that it may be Friday, but Sunday's on the way. Well, it may be Sunday, but Monday's on the way. And that means my wife's work week kicks in. That means the next 4 days for me are going to be very busy as well. And so I wanted to, you know, kind of put a different focus on the teach me to do your will, oh God, because God has His will spelled out in His word for making your spouse a priority, that making God the top priority in your life, that God wants peace and wholeness and soundness in our body, our soul, our spirit, our finances. There are times that his will calls for action. There are other times when His will calls for us to come alongside Him, separate ourselves from others so that we can spend time with Him that will make our time with others more effective, more productive, and more fruitful. Sometimes his will will be it's a time to give. Sometimes his will be it's a time to receive. And so I wanted to bring a little bit of balance to this, because we are in this society that thinks you've got to go faster, you've got to go harder, you've got to go longer. And a lot of times that can even invade the church. I've seen many people who got plugged into a church that the culture of the church was, we're going to use you as much as we can for as long as we can, and when you burn out, we'll unplug you and we'll plug somebody else in to do the same thing. And there's been a lot of spiritual casualties along the way. If we will allow God, especially when we're under attack in our body, our soul, and our spirit, if we will set aside time to remember what God has done, remember who he is, and remember his faithfulness, and remember that he's got the best way for us to do life. He's got all the wisdom that we need. That if we'll say, God, teach me what you want me to do at this very point and time. So I had a conversation with a person a long time ago, and they made the statement. They said, well, God told me this. And so I said, oh, okay, well, praise God. And it was them stepping back from something. And then a little while later, they said, well, I started that back up again because the people that needed help really needed my help. And so I started it up again. And I said, I can appreciate your heart. Let me just remind you, when God says that it's time to slow down and make something else a priority, you want to do what he wants you to do, not necessarily what other people are trying to compel as an urgent need. And he said, thank you so much for sharing that. That season that he was in, there was a reason why God had told him to slow down. It was because there was another priority that needed addressing. And because he allowed God to teach him, he was in the right place at the right time to do the right thing and minister to the right person and gain memories that he will never, ever lose. So God, teach us to do your will, whether that's action or whether that's rest.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.